It is said that once the Balatanya was by one of the Rabbonim Misnagdim, and this particular Rav asked the Balatanya that maybe he can describe to him a little bit the personality of the Mechaber of this Sefer. What Sefer? So it takes out from underneath the bench, it takes out the Sefer Noam Elimelech. Sefer, Noam Elimelech, he had it under the bench. So, being that he knew that Tanya was the Talmud of the Maggid, and he heard that the Noam Elimelech also was the Talmud of the Maggid, so he takes the Sefer out from under the bench, then he takes it and asks the Balatanya, he says, maybe you can describe to me something about this Mechaber of the Sefer. The Tanya said, I'll tell you exactly about the Mechaber. That if you would take the Rebbe Meilech himself and put him under the bench, he wouldn't say a word either. That this is Rebbe Meilech, he says. We said that the Rebbe Meilech would say many times that he's very, very sure that he's going to have a chelik l'olam haba. He's very definite about that. Because he says that when he comes to l'olam haba and they'll ask him, did you learn Torah? He'll say no. Has the gedavent? He'll say no. Did you mitzvah samasim toiv? No. So they say, no, you're telling the truth. For telling the truth also, you're zaycha to l'olam haba, he says. It's also g'day for l'olam haba. He's the memes. No, you say many times. He would say, I mean, the anivis, the Rebbe Meilech. He said the fact is that the whole world came to him to be mispallel. They came to him for brachas. He wouldn't see this as a gadlus on himself. He would say very simply. He say, you know, everybody comes to me. He says because I am a choyte. To the extent, he says, the Gemara says that one person has the ability to be machriya the entire world the kaf choyf. So my chatoim are enough, he says, to be machriya de'el mekaf choyf. So when a yid comes to me and says, I need panosa, what he's saying is, Meilech, gemme panosa, you're the cause of me not having panosa. A yid comes to me to be mispala from my son, it's because of you, he says, that he's, and so on and so forth. So they come to complain that I'm the cause of all of this. That's the pshat. This was the Igvaldi Ganivis, you know, of the Rebbe Meilech. But Bechlal, there was a chosid by the name of Rebbe Munya Monison. They once, he was a gvir, he was a soicher in diamonds and precious stones. They once sat next to the Rebbe Rashab, and we're talking about very poshut Yidden, that the Rebbe praised them very much, and the Yid, he asked, why does Rebbe make such a big union about these Yidden? Stam Yidden, push the Yidden. The Rebbe says, there are a lot of milas that poshut Yidden also have. And he says, I don't see any milas. I know these Yidden. I don't see any of the milas. The Rebbe says, you're a dealer, a diamond dealer, you deal with stones, precious stones. Maybe I have some stones on you, some precious stones. So he says to Rebbe, listen, precious stones, you just can't look at just as you have to wait until the sun is in a specific situation to be able to look and really to appreciate what the stones are. You can't just look whenever you want. You have to be able to look under the proper conditions. Okay, wait for the proper conditions. They go to a room, and he puts out all the stones, and he points out to the Rebbe, to a particular stone, and says to the Rebbe, Rebbe, you see this stone? This is Pilatloim. And the Rebbe says, I don't see anything. The Chosid, the Munya says, Rebbe, you don't see anything. You have to be a Maivman diamonds. And the Rebbe said, a Yid is Pilatloim, you have to be a Maivman a Yid. Is that a Maivman a Yid? The Gadlus of every Yid. You know what a Yid means? The Cheshivas of a Yid. Nur Abayisai, we're coming here now down to, this is Perik Tes. And for the season, the way it appears is due to the schedule of Kenhar al Chasanis and all the Simchas, it seems that for now this will be the final shir in this series. If we take a look here in the Tanya taught us in the previous Prokim. The Tanya taught us about the composition of a Yid, that Yid is made up of two Nishomas, two Nefoshes. One is the Nefesh Elikis, which is called the divine soul. Then you have the Nefesh HaBahamis, which is the animal soul. The Tanya pointed out that the Nefesh Elikis has 10 koiches, which is based upon the Yeses Spheres, the 10 faculties. And the Yeses Spheres basically are Malubish with 3 Levushim, 3 garments, which is Machshova, Dibur, and Maise. And the Tanya also pointed out that also Zeh Umazeh, that you have a balance, which means also on the negative side, which is on the animal soul, and the Nefesh HaBahamis also has 10 koiches. Although he does not refer to it as Yeses Spheres, but Kisrin de Misuavosa, crowns of impurities, 10 crowns of impurities. And then he points out, and they also based upon have the 10, and they also have the 3 Levushim, which is through Machshava Dibur Maisa. You can have Machshava Dibur Maisa using them in a positive way, which this is really enhances, and which these energies come from the Nefesh Elikis, from the divine soul. And then you have the same idea on the other side, which is the Nefesh Abahamis. What the Tanya basically is going to discuss now is the tension and the constant battles that you have, that a Yid has between these two Neshamas. These two Neshamas within him are sort of like raging one against the other. And therefore, it's the avoid of the Yid to be able to strike a balance and to be able to work out between these two koiches, between these two forces, which is the Nefesh Elikis and the Nefesh Habahamis. So the first thing that the Tanya goes on here is, it tells us as follows. V'inei mokem mishkim nefesh habahamis. He says, where is the place, where that Kodesh Baruch Hu placed, where is the resting place? Within the human body, the place where the nefesh habahamis, which is the animal soul, which by the way, by a yid, the animal soul is not totally, even the animal soul is not entirely negative. Even the nefesh habahamis, Yisof Kosof, he says, is from Klipas Noiga. If you remember, Klipas Noiga means it has a bright side to it. And Ochanami, the Tanya pointed out, is Ruboi Rab Miyutoi Toiv. But a person can elevate, is able to elevate that as well. Lafuki says that the Nishomas of all other Nivroim would be from the Sholish Klipis Atmeis, he says Umasoilom. And therefore, it's a totally different perspective. But a Yid, even his Nefesh Abahamis is also, which comes from Klipas Noiga, which means it has a bright side to it as well. And therefore, it can be enhanced and can be elevated. Al Kuponim. The Mokim Mishkin Nefesh Abahamis, talking about the animal soul, that's the source of his negative inclinations. Shebe Klipas Noiga, which is derived from Klipas Noiga in every Yid, Becholish Yisrael, he says, Hu Belev. The place where it resides is basically it's in the heart. And you realize because when you talk about the Nefesh Abahamis is not intellectual. It's not intellectual. It deals with midos. It deals with emotion. Now, the seat of the emotion is in the heart. That is really the seat of the emotion. Therefore, being that the Nefesh Abahamis, which is the animal soul, which basically is predominantly emotional, right? That is the sources of the various midos that a person has to deal with them. Al-Kuponim, so these various midos. A person has a havet to things which are no good. He has yirav of things and so on. All of the midos, I'm speaking from the negative side, but talking about Al-Kuponim, which these are emotional feelings that a person has. So, Mela, being that emotion is in the heart, that's where the seat of the emotion. So the Tanya tells us that's the Mokem Mishkan. The Mokem Mishkan of the Nefesh Abahamis says is in the Lev. Where in the Lev? The Lev has two chambers. Says the Tanya Bechol Ola Smoli. It's in the left chamber. It's in the left chamber of the heart. Shuhum Ola Dam. That is the chamber which is basically filled with blood. Uksiv, as the Pasuk says, Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh. Right? That blood is the nefesh, which that basically tells us that the nefesh, that the neshama resides, right, in the area where you have the ikar, which is filled with blood. Ki adam hu hanefesh. That doesn't mean that the neshama itself is blood. But ki adam hu hanefesh, it means that the neshama resides in the mokim, where there is the blood. And the blood is the ikar in the chelik of the heart, which is the cholo hafsmoli, which is in the left chamber of the heart, left ventricle. Akuponim, so that is the mokim. That is the place where the Nefesh Abahamis resides. And the Tanya says, V'lochein, as a result of that, namely because the Nefesh Abahamis resides in the heart, therefore, kol ha-taivis, all types of taivis, the his pa'erus, and all types of boasting, means gaive, arrogance, haughtiness, the chaos and anger, right, vidoymeyan, and also all types of similar types of passion, basically is henbalev, are in the heart. In other words, we say halev choymet, which is ayin roye, halev choymet, as Rashi says in Chumash, on the pasuk is the surah levavchem, vachrein echem. What's the relationship between the ayin and the lev? The ayin is roye, and the lev is choymet. The Tanya tells us, when we're talking about being choymet, we're talking about the negative things. The negative things that the lev is choymet, he points out, is because being that the Nefesh Abahamis resides in the heart, being that the Nefesh Abahamis resides in the heart, so therefore that's the source of all types of lust, all types of anger, and boasting, and gaiva, it comes from the lave. That's the source of it. So it comes basically, as we say, so all the types basically start out from the lave. That's their source, that's where it's from. because that's the place where the Nefesh HaBahamis resides. So before we go further, just interesting that the Tanya, when he talks about the various passions, he mentions particularly three. Then he says V'doimeim, and similar. Three things that he mentions is Taivis, Hispeirus, which means boasting, which is Lagaiva, and Kaf. It's pointed out in the Mefarshim because these three midos really, they go hand in hand. These are not three isolated midos. Gaiva breeds Taiva. Gaiva breeds Taiva. When you talk about Taivis, Hispeirus, boasting, Gaiva breeds Taiva because the Balgaiva always thinks he deserves more. He lives with the idea, Skimtzichme. Skimtne. Skumtne, right? I deserve it. I'm supposed to have it. That idea, that ashkof is from a source of taiva, from gaiva. The less a person is gaivadik, the more humble, the more modest, the more a person feels that he's inadequate, he doesn't feel that he doesn't have a demanding feeling, doesn't have that drive. So when Tanya mentions taivis and his pa'eris, boasting and taivis, these things go together. The more the gaiva he has, right, the more gaiva he has, the more kas he also has. Because the more gaiva he has, he feels he deserves more. What gets him angry? If things don't go his way, he's angry. Why do things have to go his way, not somebody else's way? What do you mean? To me. Me. It's supposed to go like my way. That's also because of gaiva. So therefore, when you have his pa'erus, you also have kas. This is a hobo hotalia. One really comes along with the other. Every time, if things don't go his way, he gets angry. Some, on the other hand, who's a true onov. So Mele Faket, he doesn't make demands, doesn't have expectations. You don't have expectations, you don't get angry. You get angry if you expect it and it didn't work out the way you wanted it to work out. You get angry. So it's Pairus, when a person has Gaiva, a person is in a matzah where he feels he has reason to boast. So the Kas, the Tanya says further comes Kas. So these are not just some three midos, but these are really three midos which is sort of like a package. Really, one is really works in joining with the other. So the Tanya pointed out, and he said, by the way, that the Mokem, the Mishkan, the place where the Nefesh HaBahamis rests, he says in the Cholul HaSmoli, which is Mole Dam, is in the left chamber of the heart. That's where the Nefesh HaBahamis rests. It's Mole Dam, Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh. It's Yitochen, by the way. Again, we don't give reasons for Tamei HaTorah, although we find the Chinuch, you know, it gives the reasons for the mitzvahs, but not that we really believe that that's the only reason. You know, these are reasons that enable us a little bit to understand, but not that we even know the actual reason. But Koponimitz, you're talking possibly also that the reason the Torah said and forbade that dam is prohibited for ye to eat dam, because being that the Nefesh HaBahamis, that the essence of the behemoth, the Nefesh HaBahamis, the soul, the life force, the vitality is in the dam, so you're going to ingest dam. What, in fact, what are you eating? Not only the dam, you're eating that ashtik behemoth. No, that's what he's eating, dam. The Nefesh HaBahamis is in the dam. You're going to be eating dam. You're not just eating dam. What's coming along with it is the Nefesh HaBahamis, which means that breeds all of the different types of the negative types of behaviors. Behavior which is unbecoming of not only a yid, even of a human being, because a human being should not be a behemoth either. So, Mamela, this is possibly a reason that the Torah, in fact, answered like the dam. So we go further. So the Tanya says, so the Iker again, so the Nefesh HaBahamis resides. The Nefesh HaBahamis basically resides belave. But it doesn't stop there, which is very interesting. But that Nefesh HaBahamis, that animal soul, not only influences the heart, because that is the source, that's the place where it resides, but in fact, as he says, from the lave, it's really mispashet to the entire guf, throughout the entire body. And then he says, V'gam oyle l'moyach shebereish. Interesting how he separates this to two things. He just said that from the lave, the animal soul spreads. The animal spreads to the entire body. Isn't the head included? That is also included. But the Tanya yet specifies, specifically says, V'gam oyle l'moyach shebereish. It rises also to the brain and the head. What does it mean, it rises to the brain and the head? It means like this. Because you have to realize that although the animal soul does not reside in the moyach, In contrast, as we'll see, to the Nefesh Elokis, to the divine soul. The Nefesh Elokis, which is the Chelik Elokai Mimal that we spoke about many times, which the Tanya mentioned in the earlier chapters, that resides, as we say, HaNeshom Eshe B'moichi. But the Nefesh HaBahamis is not in the Moich. Nefesh HaBahamis starts in the Leif. However, it does affect the Moich as well. Because you realize, when a person has a Taiva, what's the next step? person develops a taiva or a passion, now he starts to use his head. How can I get it? How can I get it? He starts making plans. What is the best way, right? How am I able? I have a taiva for something. How can I get it? This is my objective. So you start making plans and you plan strategy and proceed in the ways and you find them how to do it. So what it means is, because of the taiva shebelev, it stimulates the moyach. That taiva stimulates the moyach in order to be able to facilitate and to be able to receive and acquire. That's what the Tanya says. V'gamoyle l'moyach sheberosh. He says, lachshoiv ulaharor behem. Because he thinks and he meditates about these taivas, he says, ulishakim behem, and to become cunning in them. So when there's a taiva belev, so then he's mishtamish with the moyach, which oifen to be able to acquire that particular taiva. So as he points out, and the Tanya draws the analogy, that hagam, that even though basically the headquarters, if you will, that where the Nevesh HaBaham is, the animal soul resides in the lave, but nevertheless it's mispashit all over, he says, the way we see that is from the dam itself, because we said damu ha-nefesh. So we have the correlation between the nefesh with dam, and we know dam, the circulation in the body, goes all over, right? No matter where it starts from, it's pumped from the lave, as he says, kemoisha adam mekoyme belave. The same way as blood has its source in the heart, but certainly doesn't stay there, remain there. Umhalev mispashit l'chol oivorim, the gam oile l'hamoyach sheberosh. It circulates right through every aver, and it rises also to the brain. So similarly also, the nefesh, which is clothed in blood, right? Because that's what he says, ki adam hu nefesh. So similarly, that the nefesh, which is clothed in blood, mitzarechod, right, it resides in the heart, but it spreads from there to the person's entire body. So therefore, in the case of the nefesh abahamis also, which is the moyach, which is the intellectual faculties, they too, right? So it should have been, what should have been is that what should have been? That the moyach should dominate and should motivate the heart. But where a person becomes nichna to the heart, then the heart uses the moyach as its tool. The way it really should work is the opposite, that the moyach should control the heart, which is the intellect should control the emotion. However, the Tanya says, the koyach of the nefesh abaham is what it tries to do, as we'll see, this is going to be the tension. What the Nefesh HaBahamis tries to do is to influence it, to dominate the Moyach, to use the Moyach, the intellectual capacity, as a clever tool in order to be able to acquire all of those passions and all of those taivas that the heart desires. So it spreads out all over. Now, so we see interesting Mahalach. The end result being is that the entire body, right, that the entire body actually is permeated with the nefesh habahamis, through the animal soul. And it pervades, it basically pervades the entire body of a person. The way it works though, the mahalach is it starts the lave, the nefesh habahamis resides in the lave. From the lave it spreads to the entire body, right? And it's oyle gam kim l'roish. By the way, whenever you're dealing with the head, it's always an aliyah. Even on the negative side, there's a refinement, there's an elevation, there's an element of elevation. Even in this situation where the head is being used for a negative situation. But the etzem fact where something becomes assimilated into the intellect, the mere fact that it's assimilated to the intellect is a higher level. You know, even when you're talking at low levels, but relatively speaking, intellect is always going to be a higher level than something which with an emotion. So when you talk about rising, when you say about going to the head, it says always rising. Because that's a state of elevation. Even on the negative side, Lamaisa, it's still. There is a refinement. There's a refinement also with the blood also. Blood is elevated and refined when it ascends to the brain. So by the blood also, he said the lotion, it's oila lahamoyach. It's oila. Being meramez that there is a refinement and there's an elevation when it reaches the intellect. Agaponim, this is the this is the mokim that we're talking about, legaba the nefesh habahamis. So legaba the nefesh habahamis, the Gabbat the Nefesh HaBahamis, it says, the Mokoyim Mishkan, the place where it resides is in the heart. Right? That's the heart, that's the place of passion, that's the place of emotion, the heart is the seat of the emotion. So that's where the Nefesh HaBahamis starts. In contrast, the other Neshama, which is the Nefesh Olekis, which is the divine soul, which is the Chelik Elekai Mimal, Zudetanya, this is the Tanya further, Ach Mokoyim Mishkan Nefesh Olekis. However, where is the resting place, where is the abode, where is the dwelling place, right, of the divine soul, the nefesh elikis, who be moichin sheberosh, as we say in the Lashem Yichud by the Tfilm, say Shaneshama Shebemoichi, which basically tells us that the Neshama resides in the Moich. And from there it also extends to all the limbs. So basically, in other words, so we see, so first of all, just for definitions, when one asks you, you know, there's the Nefesh HaLakis, you have the divine soul, and then you have the Nefesh HaBahamis, which is the animal soul. So basically, right away, the difference is, the divine soul is intellective, right, and the Nefesh HaBahamis is emotional. So Nefesh HaBahamis, therefore, being that it's emotional, therefore it's belayed, and the Nefesh HaLakis is intellective. Being that it's intellective, so forth, that's the brain. Brain is the seat of the intellect. That's the chilik between the brain and the lev. The lev is the seat of the emotion, and the brain, the moyach, is the seat of the intellect. So the Nefesh HaLakis, which is intellective, moyach, that's where the place is. It's in the moyach, but it spreads. Now, so the koyach of the Nefesh HaLakis, now the positive forces, right? Till now, we spoke about the Nefesh HaBahamis, but the negative forces. We said the negative forces also spread over the entire body. The negative forces spread. They start from the lave. That's where the negative force starts. Ki adam hu anefesh. Adam is in the lave. In the left chamber of the heart, that's which is filled with blood. And then it spreads to the entire body. These are the koiches. You can see how it spreads to the entire body. If a person has a taiva, starts in the heart, right? And what, as we said, what does he use to get it? Well, the mind makes the plans. And then the feast loifen. The feet are running. Where are the feet running to? To where the heart, right? where the desire and the passion of the heart is driving him. So it permeates the feet too. He's going to use his hands, he's going to use his feet, get into his car, whatever, or walk, whatever it is, climb. He's going to do everything. So it permeates, it pervades the entire body. The Nefesh HaBahamis pervades the entire body. But in the same way that we have this on the negative side, we also have the same idea on the positive side. But on the positive side, it starts from the brain, which means the Nefesh HaLakis resides in the Moyach. And it also spreads out throughout the entire body. The positive forces of the Nefesh HaLakis of the divine soul, as he points out, the gambalev, because he said before it's mispashet the chol evorim, right? It spreads to all of the evorim. There's an also he says the gambalev, and also again to the lev as well. So which means so it spreads there. She'ein boy dam. What he means ein boy dam means it's the ikar. That's not the no. You just the main source of blood is on the left side. Shein boy dam. Ukomeshukosav, as the Pasuk says, Lev Chocham liyaminoi. You see, what does the Pasuk say? Pasuk says in Kehelet that the heart of the wise man, right? The heart of the wise man is to the right side. So the heart has two chambers. What does the Pasuk say? On the left side says, Lev Chocham liyaminoi, Lev Ksil lismoiloi. Because the left side, right, that represents the Nefesh HaBahamis. Right, which is not intellective, it's more emotional. It doesn't go with seichel. Taiva doesn't do with seichel. People do things even though they know it's wrong. Whether it's in the area of eating, they overeat, and even though they know doctors have told them, and intellectually they know it's wrong, it doesn't do with seichel. Emotion is emotion. With the drive for money, whatever the taiva should be in any area. And then you have, of course, which is the chelik, which is of the intellect, but that comes from the right chamber of the heart. Leif chocham liyaminoi. And leif ksil lismoiloi. As a matter of fact, Shlomo Melech also refers to the animal soul, which is basically the Yetzer Hara, which is described as Zokin Uksil, which means the old fool, which is, again, the epoch of Chochma. Leib Chochma liyaminoi. That's Nefesh HaLakis. Yetzer Hara, on the other hand, Yetzer Hara is referred to as Melech Zokin Uksil. The old fool, Zokin Uksil. This happens from the Rishoner. He says, why the Yetzer Hara called an old fool? He's very smart. Very smart. He's look how successful he is. Seems to be more successful than the Yetzer Tov. So what was the Zamar? He seems to be very successful. He plans out his situation very well. So he set up his derision, you know, if you're familiar a little bit, he had a number of situations where he was actually also, he sat in thesis, sat in jail. He was in prison because of various libels. We find the Gracer mentioned a lot of people had libels against them. So as he was sitting there, so the derision says, and he begins speaking to the Yetzer Hara and says, Yetzer Hara, he says, Yich zitz du in tfisa. Meili says, I'm sitting here, I'm here in jail, you know why? Because they plotted against me. I'm being accused of this and this crime. But you, Yetzer Hara, why are you in tfisa here? You don't have to be in jail here. In other words, it's what I was talking to. So even in jail, he says the Yetzer Hara is there and trying to talk him into whatever he was trying to talk him into, whatever Kesher Fush telling what the vision and what he told him to do. But like upon him, he says, so I have to sit in your way. See, a fool, he said. This is why it's called a Zaken Uxil. He says, Uxil, he says. A Zaken, he's from Shesus and Mebereshis. He's a Zaken. We know he's a, why is he Uxil? So if I'm in jail, why have to come in jail with me? If he's in jail, he should be parted from the Yetzer. He's also in jail. But it's Axil, the Psamar, he says. We call him Axil, Zokin Axil. So upon him, as he says, Leif Chochem Leyeminoi. So what we see is again that the Nefesh Elikis resides not only in the brain, but also in the right chamber of the heart. Right? That the Nefesh Elikis resides not only in the brain, but in the, as opposed to the Nefesh Bahamas, is the left chamber. And so, Mamelo, this is what we're talking about here again. So we mentioned Taka, the heart specifically, because there is the role of the heart. It's not merely an extension. When you're talking about in the positive side, in the left, when you're talking in the negative side, the Nefesh HaBahamis, we say basically that's what resides. We said it resides in the heart, right? It resides in the heart, and the Nefesh HaLikis, on the other hand, resides in the Moich and spreads to the organs. The heart he mentions separately, because not just spreading merely, it's not just an extension, but the heart is also an ikar. It's really, the heart basically what we find is the neshama itself in the heart. It's not merely just an extension like in the other organs, as Lasumpo, that says, Leiv Chochem Leyeminoi. And he goes on to explain this point. He goes on to explain how the relationship between the moyach and the heart on the positive side. Basically, it's neshama shebemoichi, but the heart is a major, major connection to that moyach, as we'll see, on the positive side. Gabrucha the Sefer from Chaim Volozhiner was a Shabbos afternoon, the famous Maisa, that he came to the Beis Medrash and he sees two Bochum sitting and says that they're shmoozing. He says that they're shmoozing. So he says to them, he says, why are you shmoozing? It's, you know, Shabbos, you know, is Rosh Tevis, Shin Beis Sof. You say, Shino B'Shabbos Tanuk. So some say it means to sleep. Shino B'Shabbos Tanuk. Shabbos is a tanuk to sleep. But Shino is not from Lashon Learning. Shonu Chachomim. Right, Shonu Chacham Loshne Mishnah. It says Shino b'Shabbos Tanik. To learn on Shabbos is a pleasure. So they said, how do you know Shino? Maybe Sicha b'Shabbos Tanik. To speak on Shabbos. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, listen, he says, a Shin the dot is on the right side, a Sin it's on the left side. Leiv Chacham Leimino, he says, like Ksil is my life. A Chacham puts the dot on the right side. So Shino b'Shabbos is not Sicha, b'Shabbos. So the Tanya goes on now. So the Tanya tells us that the relation, he says, in this revelation, the heart, he says, the neshama reveals itself in the heart. The mokim, again, the mokim mishkan of the neshama is in the moyach, but it's manifest, it reveals itself in the heart. If you want to know the role of your neshama in your moyach, it'll be expressed, it comes out in expression through the heart. How? V'hiyahaves Hashem kirashpe shal heves. Because when a man sees his fiery love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, love is in the heart. Love is in the heart. V'haftas Hashem l'kecho b'chol levavcho. Right? So love is in the heart. When a person sees that he has a tremendous love, that is the revelation. That's the revelation of the nefesh l'kis in the brain. So in other words, if you want to know how much influence the nefesh l'kis, right, in his brain has over him, this will be manifest, it will be revealed through the heart. And that is through the Ahavas Hashem. Misla Ahavas Belev Maskilim. It flares up in the heart of people who are Maskilim, who use the power of Chochmah. But the Tanya is going to tell us, people in order to reach Ahavas Hashem are going to use Chochmah Binon Das. So the first element he says, it's Misla Ahavas, it flares up, this Ahava flares up. He says, Belev Maskilim, meaning Chochmah. Maskilim is Chochmah. Hamavinim is Bainanim, that's Binah. Hamavim is Boyim, that's Bina, who understand, right? And they use the faculty of Bina, by which they understand. When you say Bina means understanding it, Dover Mitach Dover, that they understand something very, very thoroughly, in all the details, with all the, right, all the ramifications, and so on and so forth. Bedatom, that's Das. Chochma Bina Das. Bedatom Ashu B'moichom. With the knowledge of the brain, by using the faculty of knowledge. We know that Das, we said many times, is Loshen Chibur. Like V'odom Yodas Chave Ishtoi, right? Which means to become Chaber. So when a person uses Chochmah and Bina, Das means he immerses himself and really connects. He really connects and he sensitizes them in order to get to the fullest extent to be able to understand this. So das is really a kesher where he combines chokhmah and bina together. So when a person immerses himself in these ideas, right, in these ideas, so what happens is, which ideas? He uses chokhmah bina das bidvarim hama'irim es ahava, in the matters that arouse this ahava. In other words, how does he do that? As he says later, and we learned it already above, how does a person contemplate in a way that he's going to arouse ahava if he contemplates Hashem's greatness? If a person takes the time to view HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creations, and a person takes the time to delve into the tremendous, tremendous greatness and the awesomeness of the Rabbeinu Shlalom, this will bring him to Ahavas Hashem. This will ultimately bring him to Ahavas Hashem. First, it will bring him to Yiras Hashem, as we'll see, and bring him ultimately to Ahavas Hashem. That's what it means, that he contemplates with Chochmah, Bina, and Das, Bidvarim, Hamoirim, Miso Ahavo. So he uses his intellectual faculties. If he uses them appropriately, this will now be revealed, Belev, in the heart. That's the relationship by the Nefesh Elokis between the Moyach and the Lev. Because the contemplation of Chochmah Bina Vadas, which is in the Moyach, contemplating in things that are Ma'or Ahava, this Ahava will be expressed and reflected by the heart, which will bring the person, as he says, to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is really, this Ahava is one example of the Nefesh Elokis. As we say, it reaches from the brain into the heart. Right? It reaches from the brain into the heart. A person utilizing his faculties of Chokhmah Bina Vadas, where does he use it? To contemplate Godless Hashem, the greatness of the Rabbeinu Shloilam, thereby using his Moyach for these things. These things are Dvarim, are Ma'orer Eso Ahava. These things are Ma'orer the love. So ultimately, this Moyach will reach the heart. These Inyonim in the Moyach will reach the heart and bring out Ahavas Hashem. But he says another example, similarly, which is even deeper. The Chen Simchas, he says, Leivov, he says, B'tiferes Hashem v'dar goinoi. Another way, he says, in which the emotion of the heart gives expression, as we said, to the nefesh of the kiss in the brain, because that's what we're saying, right? The emotion of the heart gives expression to what one has in the brain. He says, Simchas Leivov B'tiferes Hashem, which means when a person feels a simcha, he feels a simcha in his heart. If a person feels a simcha in his heart by being zoiche to be masik the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'adar goinoi, and the majesty of Hashem's glory. If a person is able to appreciate, and he has a gladness, and he has a simcha of realizing Teferes Hashem, the beauty of the Rabbeinu Shloilam, and v'adar goinoi, the majesty of His glory, kasher einei ha-chocham ha-shebereishoi, this is a type of gladness, he says, when the chocham, when it means when a person uses his intellect, right? When a person uses intellect, as we see, this is the Loshna Chocham Ein of Bereishoi. This is an expression we find in Kehelet. Shlomo Melech uses this expression, which means to say is, when a person uses the brain, which that's the source of Chochmah, B'moyach, Chochmosoi, U'benosoi, his wisdom and understanding. So when these eyes is a metaphor for intellectual capacity. So when a Chocham uses his eyes, meaning he uses the strength and the power of his intellect, and what does he use it? Mistaklim b'yikra d'malko. And he's able to gaze right with a deepness, very intently, in the glory of the king. V'tiferes gudolosoi. Aden cheker. And he realizes the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is so unfathomable. Aden cheker. V'insoi v'tachlas. It's so infinite. It's so boundless. L'gudolosoi en cheker, as we say many times. K'mevur b'mokem acher. So when a person really... By the way, another thing. We usually when we talk about intellect, we talk about understanding something. There are two levels of understanding. There's a level of understanding where clearly it is merely like theoretical. I understand something, but I'm not experiencing it. Or maybe I don't see it. There's a lot of things I may try to explain, but the person doesn't actually see it. When it comes to Godless Hashem, the Tanya is trying to impress upon us, when a person contemplates, as he says, B'moychoi, B'moyach HaChmosa B'nosoi, he used the Loshen Chocham Ein of B'roishoi, that a person not only understands it, but he actually perceives it. It's like he sees it. It's shayach that a person should be able to come to the closeness and the asoge in the Rebbeinu Shloilam, where he actually is able, ki'ilu, he's mamish, like he's seeing it. That's what he says, mistaklim, that they actually look, that they gaze with intently. That's the Loshen using the mind's eye. When you say Loshen using the mind doesn't have an eye, but it means the mind's eye is that it's so strong, his havon is so strong, they not only understand it, but he actually perceives it. And therefore, when you're talking about when a person is zoichet to such a perception, this brings tremendous simcha. That's why the Tanya said, "V'chein simchas leivav." When a person actually has such perception, the greatness and the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore this arouses the great joy, he says, as he mentioned before. So that's again a direct result of the intellect of the nefesh of the kiss, which resides in the brain. And he says, V'chein, and it's not only ahava, because we just said now that ahava, right? Ahava is the expression, ahava is really the expression of what he has in his mind. The ahava, so mamela, the nefesh lekis, which is in his mind, right? The influence of hum, of the nefesh lekis in his mind will be expressed by the heart, but not only through ahava. The chen shar midas. What about yira? Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem, the extent of yiras Hashem will also come out in his heart. He has also emotions. Heart is the seat of the emotion. Where's the emotion of ahava? Where's the emotion of yira? So the chen shar midas kedoshe shebelev. And therefore also all of the other holy emotions, the other midos, he means. Also, he says, these things will be expressed in the heart because they, again, emanate. Where do they come from? Mechabad shebemoichin. It comes from the chokhma bin adah shebemoichin. That's the place where the neshama resides. The nefesh l'kis resides in the moyach. So if a person uses the chokhma bin adah in contemplation of the Rabbi Nishloilam, then through the heart, the brain reaches the heart, right? And from the heart will be expressed either ahavas Hashem. Through the heart will be expressed either the yiras Hashem, as he points out. This is the way from the moyach, the brain reaches the heart of these midos. So now, so what the Tanya basically is telling us, that what we see clearly, that it starts out, the chokhmah bina v'das shebemoyach, is the chokhmah bina v'das shebemoyach, and the more that a person contemplates in the godless and the awesomeness of the Rabbi Nishloilam and the beauty of the Rabbi Nishloilam, as it says, Aden Cheker, boundless greatness, infiniteness, and so on and so forth, so Mela, that will reach his heart, it will be expressed, that feeling. The more a person uses his mind, the mind's eye, he will be able to perceive the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bring out the emotions which through the lave. So the lave is richly receiving from the brain. What's interesting thing is that the Svarim HaKadoshim point out that that's a major difference that we find when Bilam, when he attempted to curse the Bnei Yisrael, which ultimately turned around into brachas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned around the clawless of Bilam into brachas. By the brachas, we find that Bilam is saying, he says, "Ustruas melech boy," which means that the friendship of the king is in him. Bilam is talking, of course, about the shvach, about the praise, the greatness of the relationship, the strong relationship, between Klal Yisrael and the Rabbi Nishloilam. Ustruas melech boy. They are connected with the king. They are connected with the Rabbi Nishloilam. The Svarim HaKadoshim point out that the word melech, right, is Rosh HaTevis, moyach, lev, and kovet. Kovet is the liver. The greatest shvach, the greatest praise you can say about a yid, that it's not that the emotion, right, that the emotion dominates the intellect, it's not the lev that shoylet on the moyach. As a matter of fact, mentioned in the Zohar Kodesh, it should be moyach shalet ala lev, which the Tanya also mentions elsewhere. Moyach shalet ala lev. The avodah of a yid is to see that the moyach, he's guided by his intellect. It should be Moyach Shalat al Alev. Melech. Melech means Moyach Lev Kovid. Because Lev, the heart by itself, is the seat of emotion, seat of passion. That's where the Nefesh of Bahamas resides. Kovid, that's the Dam itself. Ki Adamu HaNefesh, that's actually, so that's the sort of the depth of the Taivis, the Oymek of Taivis, which is the Kovid. So Kuponim, so Moyach Lev Kovid, that's a Shvach, if you can say about a Yid. That is moyach, that is intellect, right? That is how he's guided by, and that is the way he is led. So that's a tremendous shvach. So by the brachas, Bilam says, "Esruas melech boy." They are in the bechin of melech, moyach, lev, kovet. The moyach first, right? But the moyach dominates the lev and so on. However, at the time of the klolos, the Gemara tells himself this brachas, that it says, "Keil zoyim bechol yoyim." HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically, every day there is a period. Every day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kibiyochol, there is a nekud of anger. There's a nekud of anger. Keil zoyim b'chol yoyim. And the Gemara says, v'kama zoamo, how long does it last? Rega. And that rega is not a second, it's like a millionth of a second. I mean, so it's a fraction of a fraction. So Taisa says, and Bilam was yochol l'chav moisa shoa. Bilam was able to be mechav in that moment. So he, when he attempted to curse the Bnei Yisrael, he was going to curse them. He planned to curse them at that moment when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, expresses his anger. And Tosfos says, but if the whole moment of anger is only a moment, less than a moment, How much could he say already? The Taisa says Kalem. Kalem, he destroyed them. Kalem is Chof Lamed Mem. It's reverse. It's Kovid Lev Moyach. That's Bilam's attitude. That's a curse. Now, Bilam, this is the Derech of Umas Oilam. That Yidden should also be like that. The curse that one can give to Bnei Yisrael, right, is to drag them down from their Mila of Ruchnius and to bring them down that they should be guided by the Kovid and the Lev, and then the Moyach would be second. That's what we see, the distinction between the Mahalach of Bilam by the Brochus, which is the Sruas Melach boy, as opposed to later on. That's the Nekuda. The emotion Bilam wanted should dominate the intellect, and that's the greatest klola for Bnei Yisrael. That what it should be, Kalem. Kalem is, then they're destroyed. If they're not Matziv, we're Kovid, Lev and Moyach, where the Lev dominates over the Moyach, they might as well be destroyed. That's Kalem, because the whole essence of Bnei Yisrael is already destroyed. So Mamela, so we go now further, and the Tanya goes on and he tells us more than that. The Tanya says, so being that the Kitzes, so we have here now the two Nefoshes. We have the Nefesh of Bahamis that basically resides in the heart, and from the heart, right, is mispashit all over. And then Matar Hasheni, we have the Nefesh Elokis, which is the divine soul, which starts in the Moyach, and from there also it's mispashit. So now you have the tension between the two. Says the Tanya, Achinei Ksiv, being that the Pasuk says, Ule'oim Mele'oim Ye'emots, right? The Pasuk says, one nation will prevail over the other nation. Now you might remember that this is in the Parsha by Yaakov and Esav, right? When you find Yaakov and Esav, and you have the tension in the Chumash when Yaakov and Esav were born, Be'yodo Echezes Vakev Esav, and then it says there, it says, Ule'oim Mele'oim Ye'emots, right? That one will prevail. Because as that comes, an Eiffel. This will be on top, the other on the bottom, and so on and so forth. Sometimes him, and sometimes him. One will be above the other. Uloim, uloim, yemuts. One nation will prevail above the other. So being it's referring to Yaakov and Esav, so the Tanya says, in terms of a Yid's spiritual life, he says, it's understood as an allusion to the Nefesh Elokis versus the Nefesh Elokis versus the Nefesh Bahamis. The Yaakov and Esav, every Yid has the Yaakov and Esav within himself. Every Yid has the Yaakov and Esav within himself. And therefore, the Pasuk appropriately applies to each individual Yid as well. Not just on a global scale or on a national scale. Eloim, Eloim, Yenot. Yaakov, the nation of Yaakov versus Esav. But within the Yaakov and Esav, within each and every Yid. Each and every Yid has the Yaakov and Esav, the Nefesh of Bahamas versus the Nefesh of Lakis. And to that, the Pasuk says, Eloim, Eloim, Yenot. Which means to say they were going to have this tension. Sometimes this one is going to overpower. Sometimes the other one's going to be overpowered. And as he points out how these are two struggles. These are two struggles and battles between these two nefoshes. Ki haguf nikra ir ketano. Because we know that the body is called a small city. That's actually a Gemara, where the Gemara talks about. Ir ketano v'yeshba noshim ma'at, as the Gemara tells. This is a metaphor. And the ir ketano is referring to the guf. V'yeshba noshim ma'at is referring to the evorim, to the limbs, you know, that a person has. So the ir ketana, that's the guf, that's the whole city, so to speak. The yeshba noshim ma'at is referring to the limbs, to the evarim. And says the Tanya, being that the Pasuk refers to the guf as an ir ketana, so let's take a look in the world when you're dealing with the city. Right? How many times have we heard where you find that there are two kings fighting over a particular area? This city, or this chelik, this country, and so on and so forth. Ukimoy shishnei malochim nilchomim alir achas. Just like when you find a situation, you find two kings that are waging war in order to conquer, in order to capture a particular city. That each one wants to capture it, limloich, and he wants to dominate, right? He wants to dominate it. He wants to dominate against, right, its will, right? And as he points out, the haina lahanig yoishveo kirtsoinoi. What the king tries to do, what's conquering mean? Conquering means if I conquer a city, I want all of them to bend to my rotsen. That's what it means to conquer. That the king wants to direct that all the people, Yoishveho, right? Yoishveho means that the populace, the people of that city, Ketsoinoi, to do his will, right? V'sheyiu sarim l'mashmosoi, and that they obey him, v'chol asher yigzer aleihem, right? And in everything that he decrees, that is the pshat of conquering, that is the objective of the conquering. Says the Tanya, the same thing is with the two nefoshes. It's no less. This is really, we're talking about conquer. We're talking about domination. These two nefashas fighting over the ir ketana. These two nefashas fighting over this particular person. And this is each and every person. So you have two kings, similar to the two kings. You have the two nefashas. capturing means that it tries to dominate and makes you, against your will, to do the bidding of the dominant force. The two nefashes, which is number one, which is Holy Kiss, v'acheyunis ha-bahamish u'maklipa, and then he says, the vitalizing animal soul, because that's the nefesh that gives life, vitality to each guf. That's the neshama that gives guf, which originates, as we said, from the klipas noiga. So nilchoma izum zu, ala gufa cholei baro. So they wage war against each other over the body and all its organs. So in other words, the body, again, in the mashal, right, is analogous to what? To the city, right? And the organs to the inhabitants. So in the mashal, you talk about the ear, right? You have an ear, you have a city, and then you have the yoshevera, as the Tanya mentioned. So too, the body. You're talking about the body of the person. That's the city. And the limbs, the organs, are the inhabitants. Now, the two kings are trying to be dominant over the city and on the inhabitants. So too, the two nefashes want to take charge how the guf should act, how the organs should act, how a person should act in each and every way. And the Tanya now points out, as we see now the two sides, here's the tension. What happens? Sheholei kis. Right? Sheholei kis chefzo ritzoino. Here's the tension. As far as the will of the nefesh sheholei kis is concerned, right? Its will, chefzo ritzoino. Its will and its desire is shetehehi levado hamoisheles olof uman higosoi. It wants that she alone should rule over the person directed. That is the bidding of the nefesh sheholei kis. The nefesh sheholei kis tries to influence and be on top, that she should be the one that controls fully, that the body does everything that she, that the nefesh sheholei kis wants to be done. And he goes further. V'chol ha'ivarim yihyu sarim l'mashem osa, so that all the organs be subjected to what? To the discipline of the what? Of the nefesh sheholei kis. U'betelim eleo legamre, that they become surrendered completely. Which means, you notice he's saying two things. You know, many times you find a situation where I can make a person listen to me, but it doesn't mean that really he surrenders to me. But he has no choice. You know, he doesn't have no choice. So he does what I... But basically, he doesn't want to be mavatal himself to me. The Tanya says, this is not the case. By the nefesh sheholei kis, the objective of the nefesh sheholei kis is not only to get the body to obey her, but also to become bottled to her, to completely surrender. So that's a step ahead. That's a higher mila. That's a next mila. Not only to listen, that's sorin l'mashem also, but also to be bottled. But then he goes further. Umerkova eleo. And she further desires, and others, the nefesh sheholei kis further desires, that all the organs become a merkova, becomes a chariot. It means more than that. She goes even a third step, which means not only that all the organs surrender, not only the organs surrender their will, because surrendering a will implies that there is a will, but I'm surrendering my will. But there's even a higher madrega that I have no will at all. My will is only what you want. And that is the motion of a chariot. A chariot has no will whether to go north, right, south, east, or west. But rather, it's guided by the one who drives it. By the one who drives it. That's the one, the person who's on the seat of the chariot, that's the one who determines where the chariot goes. The chariot by itself has no desire of one way or another. It doesn't care at all. Does not have an independent will. So what the Tanya says, the nefesh sheholei kis tries to dominate the guf up to the point, not only that it surrenders its will, but kilo there's no will at all. It becomes a merkav oleo. It has no independent will. It's just an instrument of the driver. The chariot is an instrument of the driver, having no independent will whatsoever. That is the one side. That's the side of the nefesh sheholei kis. As he points out, the yul bush, the divine soul, which means the nefesh sheholei kis desires that all the organs become a garment. A garment means it's an instrument of expression. What should our organs do? They should become an instrument of expression for the 10 faculties, which is the keser, the chokhmah, bina, das, ahava, yira, right? Chesed, gvura, tiferes. These should be all instruments. All instruments, these are the 10 bechinois. The gimel levushel. And also, as we said, for the three garments, she stops you kulam bivorg, the three garments, as we said, is in machshava, to do all of these things in the realm of machshava, and in dibur, and in maisen, right? Which clothe the limbs of the body, because when a person does positive things with dibur, then this becomes a levush, and does it with machshava, again levush, does it with maisen, it's again levush. The yiyud, ultimately, haguf kuloi mole mehem levadom. The entire body should be permeated with them alone. But it means very simply to say that the desire, now again, this is the desire of the Nefesh Elikis. What it means is very simply that the desire of the Nefesh Elikis is to have the exclusive use of the body as an instrument of expression in Avodas Hashem. That's the bottom line. What is the desire of the Nefesh Elikis? Sometimes less successful, sometimes more successful. But the desire of the Nefesh Elikis is to use the body as an instrument, as we said, in order to be able to express Avodas Hashem. Express Avodas Hashem. To use all the emotions, all the esosphere, to use everything for Avodas Hashem. So that's a very, very, of course, if you think about an elevated or a lofty ideal, if you think about it, we find this by the Talmid of Baal Shem Tov, we find by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu we find when in Parshas Vayera, Kodesh Baruch Hu comes and speaks to him, Vayera Elov Hashem, Balonim Amre, and then we have the Malochim. It says again, Vayar, he sees again, Vayar at the cross on. Right, so Chazal say, what do you mean? He's talking to Kodesh Baruch Hu. How's he leaving Kodesh Baruch Hu and running to the three Malochim? And the Gemara Darshans from here is the Gemara Shabbos Kuf Chav Zayin. Achnos Sorachim is even greater than Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina. So Mele, he's standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina. Achnos Sorachim is more important. And everybody asked the Kashi. Okay, let's say that's so. How did Avraham Avinu know that? Who told him that? I mean, this is a big Kiddush, you know. To make it up by yourself, on your own. I mean, who has the thing to make up such a Kiddush? Achnos Sorachim is greater than Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina. Fine, but how did Avraham Avinu know that? There's many truths in the Sefer called Mizne Tzedek, very interesting thing. So he says, and this is also brought another sfarim as well. You know, the Remendel Merimenev once pointed out, Shabbos a little bit, we spoke about him by Shul Shidus. Remendel Merimenev points out, remember by the Akeid that says, Vayishlach Avraham es Yodoy. Avraham Avinu stretched out his hand, Vayishlach Avraham es Yodoy. So he says, why is the Torah telling us he stretched out his hand? What's the Vayishlach Avraham es Yodoy? So he says, it's because the Evarim of Avraham Avinu, he says, were so pure that they instinctively followed to do only the Ratzon Hashem. Instinctively. I'd say like a baby. You don't have to teach him, you know, how to drink or how to nurse. Lahavdul by animals also. I mean, instinctively, who taught them that? Who told them that this is, they know what to do and they know that they have to suck and they know that this is the life depends, this is what they have to do. It's just built into their metzias. Right? Nobody had to teach them that. This is instinctive. It's shaykh to have instinct, automatic reflexes, right, in ruchnius also. It's shaykh such a thing. Where the body is so elevated, has been so purified, is so refined, that the body is sensitive to feel what is the Ratzon Hashem. Said the Rebbe Mendel Merimenev, he says, Azoy, the emissaries by the Akedah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, did not want him to shaykh Yitzchak. It was just an assignment. Right? It was just an assignment to see if he's going to do it. But what was the emissaries to get Ratzon Hashem? The emissary of Ratzon Hashem was not to do it. And here Avraham Avinu hears he has to do it. But his limbs were margish that this is not really. So Vayishlach Avraham, he had to force his hand to do it. That's what the Vayishlach said, Rebbe Mendel Merimenev. Because his hands instinctively would follow only to do the Ratzon Hashem. And being that this was the hepech of the Ratzon Hashem, the emes, yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says go and shechtim. So Vayishlach Avraham is Yod, in fact, he had to do it. Right? By straining his hand. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu says later, Al Tishlach Yotcha, don't strain your hand. Because Bemis says, I don't want this to be done. I don't want this to be done. Bemis says, it's only on the side to see if you're going to do it. But Bemis says, this is not my Rotzen. You're right. This is not really my Rotzen. My Rotzen is Bemis, I cannot Teshech Yitzchak. So he says the following now. So by the way, he says, the Pasuk says, going back to Avraham Avinu now. The Pasuk says it like this. Vayisrael Vayar. Right? What does he see? Shloish Anoshim. Then it says Vayar again. What's the second Vayar? So Rashi says the second Vayar is Loshon Havona. Now Rashi was bothered by that. Rashi had problems with that pasuk, and rightfully so. What's the second Vayar? He saw Vayar Shloisha Vina Shloisha Anoshim, right? Then it says Vayar again, Vayar to cross them. So Rashi says the second Vayar is Loshon Havona, meaning he understood that they're coming to him and they want his services. The second Vayar means understanding what they want, and therefore Vayar to cross them. So the Sefer Moisnei Tzedek says maybe we can say a different pshat. Vayar really means to see. Why does it say twice? Vayar. Avraham Avinu stands and he sees Shloish Anoshim. Right? But on the other hand, he's speaking to Kodesh Baruch Hu. What are you supposed to do? Vayar, but he saw Vayor at the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He sees that his feet are running. If his feet are running, it means that's the Rotzon Hashem. Vayar vayor tekrotzom. From Avinu's sensitivity of what in fact is Rotzon Hashem, that told him what the right thing is. So the second Vayar means he observed that it's not like the case by the Akedah where we have to force his hand, which that was a simon that something's not kosher here. Here, which is the opposite. Here, Vayar, he saw that Vayar is the cross off. He saw that Epsat the Feast Leufen. He said Epsat the Feast Leufen. And that, by the way, the Loshen. That Loshen of the Tanya Taka says. Because the Tanya's Loshen is, remember, Vayar Haguf Kuloi Mola Mehem Levadom. So the Tanya is, that the body really be harnessed completely in service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Levadom. Levadom means alone. That only the Nefesh Elikis alone should have the exclusive use of the body. That's a tremendous thing. But you see from the Tanya, there's such a thing. That what that levadom, that only exclusively the guf is guided by the desire of the nefesh elikis. So, if not Avraham Avinu, who yeah? Who has it? Who reaches this madrega? So vayar vayoros akrosam, the posik said that inside that he ran. Vayar, because he saw vayoros akrosam, he saw that his feet are running. Right? So Meli understood that this in fact is the right thing. So this is the lotion that the Tanya says. So Kaponim is shaykh a situation where a person really is mishabed his guf entirely to the will of the Moyach, which is the nefesh elikis, which is in the Moyach. That really is also what the Baal Shem Tov actually said when it says Ezehu Gibor HaKoyvesh Es Yisroi. So Baal Shem Tov said, it doesn't say Ezehu Gibor HaMizgaber Al Yisroi. Gibor means strong, right? So it should say HaMizgaber. The Gibor is someone who is able to be Goyver on his Yetzer Hara. So Baal Shem Tov says there's two ways of doing it. There is the lower way, and then there's the higher madrega. The lower madrega is the Yetzer Hara tries to entice you. The lower madrega is you don't listen to him. You push him away. You push away the Yetzer Hara, and you do the right thing. That's also great madrega. Well, why are we able to do that all the time? But that would be HaMizgaber al Yisrael. The greater madrega is HaKoyvish, to conquer the Yetzer Hara. You come to a point where the goof becomes mishubed to the desire of the Nefesh Elikis. As the Tanya says, that the guf itself becomes totally mishubed and has no independent will. I mean, that's a tremendous madrega. From our vantage point, it seems like this is what the Tanya is saying. That the guf kuloi mehem levadam becomes permeated alone. That's called akoivish, conquered, not misgaber. Misgaber means just overpowering. Overpowering means pushing him away. You're trying to tell me to do this. No, I push you. No. I'm Mizgaber on the Yetzer Hara, which means I'm able to do what I feel is right, not listening to it. That's Mizgaber. Kovish means is completely utilizing all of the energies of the Yetzer Hara and channeling them in order to do it to Avodas Hashem. When a guf is in this madrega, then we understand what the Pasuk says also. When Asati Mishkoni B'Soichichem in Parshas Bukhah Koisai, V'Leisigal Nafshi Eschem. When Yidin do the right thing, V'Leisigal Nafshi, my nefesh will not be revolted by you. So the Yalshach HaKadosh says, V'leisigal nafshi eschem, my nefesh will not be revolted by you, says Yalshach, being that there is always tension between the guf and the neshama, what would the neshama like most? Now, if you could ask the neshama, you know, the neshama could steal the afikoyman, you know? If the neshama could steal the afikoyman, you know, and give him one wish, you know what the neshama would say? I want a one-way ticket back to Olam Haba. that would be the wish of the neshama. Neshama doesn't want to reside in the guf. Why should he want to reside in the guf? But Rabbeisai, if you have the guf that the Tanya is speaking about, you have the guf where the guf totally becomes mishubed to the nefesh elikis, the yeh haguf kulei mola mehem levadom, where the guf becomes a vehicle and exclusively a tool to carry out, right, the nefesh elikis, then the neshama feels comfortable. So v'nesati mishkoni b'soichichem v'leisigal nafshi. Nafshi means the neshama. My neshama will not be revolted to be here. My neshama will be maskim. The neshama will be very comfortable to be here, Boilam Hazeh, because it's residing in a guf, which is the main Olam Haba. As the Tanya said later, that a person, Taki, can be in such a matzev, where it's mamish main Olam Haba. V'leisigal nafshi. My neshama will not be revolted. My neshama will not be repulsed. Because my neshama will be very comfortable being here in such a guf, because there will not be such a tension. That's the Yisoid, by the way. Oibazoi, we can understand that's the Yisoid between Mitzrayim. You know, Paroi is always called, you know, Tumas Mitzrayim, the Melech of Mitzrayim was called Paroi. And as the Rupshitz Rebbe said, I'm told the Rupshitz said, if you take the word Paroi and you rearrange the letters, what's Paroi? Ha'oirev. What's Oirev? The neck. Ha'oirev, the neck. What is the role of the neck in the human body? To separate the Moyach from the rest of the body, from the Leiv. That's the Avoide. Because the Avoide of the Goyim are Moyach Leiv Kovid, right? Moyach Leiv Kovid, Moyach. not to have the Moyach on top, which is Melech. So Paro is Inyanov, and Mitzrayim is also Mitzrayim. You know, Tsar is the narrow area. That's also the neck area, because that's where it gets narrow, then the shoulders become broad again. That's also referring here on that area, to see that, to be able to sever, to see to be able to sever. And therefore, remember, Pari, what he wanted to do to Moshe? He wanted to cut the head. Moshe Rabbeinu's neck became kosher kishayish, right? To show, no, you can't separate my moyach from my leiv. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the yisoid of a yid, and that, in fact, is the godless of a yid. Okay, there's a lot more to talk about, of course, but I guess we're going to have to stop over here. And so I hope that, I think this has been the 27th shir, Rabbi Isai, and so I'll have at least some idea. This is the 9th perek, and Bezdas Hashem, Tein lechochem v'yach kemoid, and lahagel teir v'yadir v'metach simcha v'nachas v'yadir 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 v'yad